out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are calling you
pain.
Wait, no. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs.
Thunder Mifflin.
The people versus paper people.
Thunder Mifflin.
The people versus paper people.
Time out.
Tiff, I wish you could see how I have to say people persons paper people.
I was dancing. You didn't see me dancing.
I didn't see the dancing, but I felt it in my heart.
Stanley, you're dancing.
No, I'm not. This is season 4, episode 9. How are, well, and it's not actually 9, but it depends on how
you split
up
the episodes. No, it's not 9. It's 5.
It's 5, but it's 9 if you consider each of the first episodes we've seen so far, individual episodes.
This is the 5th episode of the 4th season.
There you go. Tiff has said it here, and she is not backing down. This is season 4, episode 5. It's local ad, and it was written by BJ Novak. For those of you who don't know, if this is your first time watching that, my dear friends, is Ryan.
He's also the author of my kid's current favorite book, The Book Without Pictures.
I'm very curious about that because I saw you post about that somewhere.
Oh, the kids, they lose their minds when you read that book. It's so funny.
I've never heard of it.
Well, I don't think it's funny. They think it's hilarious.
Does it have pictures or is that a spoiler?
No pictures.
It truly has no pictures?
It truly has no pictures and it's a book meant for children. So that's why it's funny.
I'm so curious about this book.
You should check it out. It has a lot of interesting typefaces, so I guess it's kind of pictures.
I do like that. Yeah. Is it just like funny words?
Yeah, it's funny words, and it's just, I don't know, they just lose their minds. I don't know what BJ Novak did. Like, what magic he put into that book, but it's certainly magic.
But that's not what this episode is about.
This episode's about creativity, really, Micah. It is. And
yes. This
episode, I find it to be very short and sweet. There's not a lot that happens here. We have a lot of strange B-roll footage that is going on when we're watching the versions of the ads and the playing of the commercials and the playing of the ad. Like, there's not a lot of meat in the episode itself. Did you feel that way?
I think that's fair. This one's very like, we've got a story to tell. We tell the story and we move on kind of
thing. It's sparse. And it's sparser than previous episodes have been.
Yeah, you know, you got your hearty soups and then your not so hearty soups. And this is like just a Campbell's chicken, not a Campbell's chunky chicken.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Sure, we'll go with that one.
I feel validated.
But this does have, it has a very long cold open, which I found interesting. But it has that really, really great Andy has the jingle stuck in his head. And that carries on throughout the entire episode. Like halfway through, he's still trying to figure out what the jingle is for, and then at the very, very end, he's still trying to figure it out. And I really love that little through line that they have with Andy and how Jim right away in the beginning of it shouts out, "Nobody tell him."
Best dad ever. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. I am totally blanking. What is the thing?
Nobody tell him.
What? No, why?
You got it. You're so close.
Break me off a piece of that. Bread. It's applesauce.
Break me off a piece of that applesauce. I don't think that.
Piece of that Chrysler car.
Nope.
Football cream.
Okay. It's football cream.
That's what I appreciated about this was watching Jim just jump on the chance for some humor. Mm-hmm. He quickly notices and is like, no, nobody had better tell him because this is too much fun and we'll just spoil this fun if we tell him.
Oh, it's so good. And they just let everyone just lets him flounder the entire
just
day.
Say whatever.
They're like,
yeah,
it's football cream. Sure, Andy, whatever you say.
It's football cream.
But no one tells him all day. No one tells him. And it's very good. It's like the whole office is playing a prank on Andy.
Now we would just quickly Google it or something. Mm-hmm. It's a little off topic, but because we've got, you know, the normal Campbell's chicken and not the chunky chicken, I think I can diverge a little bit. I don't know. Do you have those moments sometimes where you think of some trivia or you think of something that you're trying to remember and you refuse to look it up because you're like, I should know this and I will find it. I love doing that.
Oh, I absolutely do that. I think that it's more of like, it becomes more of a challenge and more of a game to not look at your phone and look up the exact answer. You're like, I'm going to figure this out. It is. And I like that they don't just have him look it up. He's tortured all day.
This, I guess, speaks to the anger management classes that Andy took, because he doesn't let this little thing kind of, like, I feel in the past this is something that would have taken his trail into a bad place, but he still sort of continues to be Andy throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. It's not too soon before he's doing stupid things about Nard Dog and I'm good at aromatherapy and all this stuff that's just cringy and awful and nothing that I care about. But it's nice to see that he isn't like, he doesn't lose control like he used to, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I want to talk about a couple of the little things before we get into the meat of the episode about Michael, because this is a very different Michael in this episode. But before we get into that, I want to talk about Dwight's second life escape from his feelings for Angela. And he has just kind of poured himself into this video game that essentially he has created his character exactly like his regular life, and except he can fly.
Playing that game again? Second Life is not a game. It is a multi-user virtual environment. It doesn't have points or scores. It doesn't have winners or losers.
Oh, it has losers.
But he does say he made it a few years ago, but it seems like he's now kind of back into it in order to avoid his feelings for Angela.
Avoid his feelings for Angela and avoid the pain of life that he's going. Like, it's so depressing, but at the same time, I think there's some major feels for the guy. It's you feel for him and you know that he is hurting so bad that he wants to just disappear out of this earth and like dissociate. And that's so sad.
It is. And then at the same time, while he's in the office, he's getting bombarded by Andy asking for like advice or a sounding board or something. And he keeps saying to Andy, like, I can't listen to this.
I can't hear you talk about this.
And Andy doesn't really hear him. He just keeps on going because he doesn't really know what the subtext of that is. And it's just, I feel a lot for Dwight. But towards the end of the episode, we do get that kind of payoff. Well, I guess Dwight gets the payoff where he finds out that Angela was basically calling his name while she was with Andy.
She called you D.
Yeah, D for Andy.
O-D.
O-D.
I feel so stupid for not noticing this earlier.
What?
That, like, I feel no, not in this episode. Yeah, not OD. The thing that you said, I think it was in the last episode, we had tweet at us and they were like, it made this person feel good that they also hadn't picked up on it, because I had also not picked up on it. And so, like, I had a person out there who's like, wow, I didn't realize that it was so from the get go. Andy was a way for Angela to get back at Dwight. Mm-hmm. And so in watching this episode where we've just had that last part and now we're having this part with the D, I'm just kind of annoyed that I didn't.
Right, because the transition's so quick. But, like, they never had a little romance period, like, at all.
Yeah, there was never a real romance for them at all. And I don't know how I didn't pick up on that before. But this is creepy with them doing, like, that in sync. Oh, D! It's just so creepy.
Why? You don't chat with your friends about that kind of stuff?
No, I do. And if it was normal, like, you know, I do and I don't. I wouldn't use this. Anyway, my point is, it's the fact that Dwight is getting something entirely different out of it than Andy's getting out of it. But it's the dramatic irony of the situation. We know what's going on, but Andy does not. And so it's like this cringy thing where Andy thinks that he is being celebrated by his friend Dwight, but Dwight's celebrating himself. And it's like, why are you playing along with Dwight, even though he doesn't know. So there's nothing anyone can do. And I just want to shout out and be like, Andy, he's happy because she's saying Dwight. He's happy because he's insane.
Well,
that's a squirrel.
Yep,
folks.
Yep. That is a squirrel. Well, I mean, I'm a little bit happy for Dwight, I want to say, that, like, he kind of got that little insider information that Angela's still thinking about him. So, I mean, I feel Tiffany terrible.
Tiffany Arment is a cutthroat romantic.
I am. Yep.
Oh, dear.
Kind of, I mean, we pretty much wrapped up on everything that's going on between Dwight, Angela, and Andy.
But back to Dwight's second life, before we leave that, Jim has a really good little prank that he adds in there. And on top of that, Pam gets a really nice moment to make fun of Jim, and Jim gets embarrassed.
Who's that?
Oh, it's just my avatar guy, whatever.
He looks a lot like you. And how much time did you spend on that?
Not much. It's just for tracking Dwight, so.
Right. You're a sports writer in Philadelphia? Nice build, too.
Yep.
You have a guitar slung on your back. I did not know you played guitar.
Why don't we go back to the animation?
No. I want to see more of Philly Jim. I want Philly Jim.
Show me how this works.
Oh, boy.
It's fun to have Jim floundering a little
bit. Yes.
And to see him sort of like, oh, no. And how much of it's for Pam, how much of it's for the cameras, how much of it's for himself.
Ooh, good point.
Like, I would be embarrassed in either case, frankly, but that just adds to it. So it's just like double heapings of embarrassment. Like, oh, my God, everybody out there now sees that I'm creating my little guitar gym and I don't play guitar. And it's really quite funny.
He does have a guitar in his room, though, from the episode.
I mean, we've all had a guitar in our room from time to time, but how many of us actually play
it? It's true. Right. So we see a guitar in Jim's room during email surveillance. And then there's apparently a brief moment where he's playing guitar in the vandalism episode. So I guess we'll have to wait for that one to air and we will see if he is... wait for it to air. We'll see if he is playing his guitar in that one. He has guitarist aspirations.
Guitarist aspirations and sports writer aspirations.
Which is strikingly similar to his
foreshadowing
in season 9.
Yes. Much later foreshadowing, but foreshadowing nonetheless.
I think that's a testament to the consistency of the writing in this show.
Yes. I was just talking to someone about one of their favorite shows, and I don't recall what it was, but in season 1, something happened, and they were like, I love that in season 8, it's brought up again. And I said, and this was like a drama or something. And I said, that is what I love about The Office, is it's the same thing. It's a whole different show and it's a comedy, but the writing is such that you can find those through lines from the beginning to the end. And I think that that's a testament to the awesomeness that is this entire show.
One question I have for you, is Angela pregnant in this episode? I believe she is, because I think this is the start
is
of the giant hiding. Like, it's just like the epic hiding of Angela.
Oh, I need to pay closer attention because I didn't watch in this episode. The one that I think of is one that's coming up that I won't say anything about just yet, but where there's like a giant purse in front of her and it's so funny.
Well, she is a very small woman to begin with. So you would think that any kind of pregnancy would show as the actor Angela, not the character Angela. And so they start hiding her pretty early. And I think it's this entire rest of the season that we see her kind of hidden. So sorry if I ruined that for anybody who didn't notice yet, but I don't know how you could not notice that they're hiding pregnant Angela.
And this is Angela Kinsey, not Angela Martin. Just like so folks know, it's not that like within the show, part of the story is that she's being hidden. She's actually like real life.
So let's get into Michael here. Michael in this episode is so right. You know, like he calls out the ad people for making a stupid commercial because
boring.
It was
boring. No one's going to watch that and get anything out of it.
Right. And he is very gung-ho and very supportive of his staff in having the ability to create something great. And I really love Michael in this episode. He is creative and he's passionate and he's consistent and he is all these like really positive driven words when it comes to making this commercial. He puts himself into it so much and he feels so much pride in it and he believes in himself and he believes in his staff. It's a really great side of Michael that I don't think we've seen before. We've seen him goofing off and being distracted, and we've seen him misinterpreting things and discouraging people in a weird way because he's ignorant about stuff. But here it's like everything is working for him. He's moving all of this along. He's motivating the staff. Everyone's in on it. They're creating this thing together. It's just, it's a really nice collaborative episode that I think is very unlike a lot of the other episodes that we've seen so far.
And I guess that's what makes it especially disheartening, sad, and kind of frustrating for me is that, you know, you see Michael being very on it and doing well, and you have faith in him. And so to see these people sort of disregard him and cast him aside in that way is frustrating. And you are complete, at least for me, completely on the side of Michael with this. And like he talks about how he's willing to stake his whole reputation on it.
Listen, David, I would like to do this ad in-house. I want to use only the creativity that we have right here in the office. And I will send it to you tomorrow morning. Take a look at it. If you do not think that it's ready to air, send the ad agency back down here and we'll do it on my dime.
This is weird.
I'm willing to stake my entire reputation on it.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
And thus, Michael Scott sealed his own destiny. In a good way.
He believes so much in this. He cares about this so much. And frankly, I think it shows that he cares so much. And it comes through in the work that he creates.
Yeah, I really love the commercial. But before we even talk about the finished product, I really like the moment where Daryl is writing the jingle with everybody. And aww, Michael thinks it's going to be a rap. And Daryl totally trolls him.
I was under the impression that this was going to be a rap.
What's rap?
Okay, Daryl, wow. You need to learn a lot about your own culture. I'll make you a mix.
Great.
Michael is just, he doesn't get it that it's a troll.
Beside himself,
and
right.
And it's really good. But I do love their jingles. That was the only time I thought he was wrong. They had really great jingles.
Yeah, the jingle was so good. I mean, it was well written, and like they said, it featured everybody, and yeah, it was nice. And I think that I really want to hear Michael Scott's mix for Daryl, and I wish that that existed somewhere.
Yes.
I just want someone actually, okay, I'm putting this out there right now. Ooh. And maybe Tiff will cut it out, but I hope she doesn't. Good. Someone out there listening to this, try your hand at create. Are you a subscriber to Apple Music, Tiff?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are both subscribed to Apple Music. So someone out there, please create a playlist on Apple Music that you believe is Michael Scott's mixtape for Daryl. And the best one,
yes.
I'm willing to give more than just a digital Dundee to the winner of this competition. We'll have this go a little bit longer, but I think that someone who can pull this off and that like we both vote may that it's very good, I think they deserve more than just a digital Dundee. Yeah, so take your time. Put together a playlist in Apple Music, channel your inner Michael Scott.
And send us a link over at tall_beats. Or if you happen to be a member of The Incomparable and you are in the chat with us, send it there too. Even past Dundee winners are eligible to win.
Yes.
So this is so smart. I love this. I can't wait for all the mixes.
I'm excited.
I hope we get one.
Me too. Just one at least. I think that we've got a few folks out there that are pretty consistent. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see that. It'll be fun. So moving on.
Chrysler car.
Applesauce. We go to, you know, you've seen this whole time sort of the struggle of Michael trying to make this thing a reality and it's just not working. I love David Wallace just being like, this is weird. He sort of says what we're all feeling. He's just like, you know what? I'm not going to let this just slide. I'm going to say how I'm feeling right now. And how I'm feeling is, this is weird.
This is weird.
there's a testament to how serious the staff is taking Michael and how they see his passion as completely legitimate, because Pam also very much gets taken in by the creativity of this project. And I really love Pam's dedication to doing her animation work.
I hope you're not killing yourself on this, because I'm sure it's good enough for Michael's ad that will probably be seen by no one.
Maybe, but it's not good enough for me yet.
And even though it's not really going to be going anywhere, she still like pours herself into this project. And I completely understand this, because I get the exact same way with projects. No matter what they are, I want them to be as close to perfect for myself, regardless of what they're for. And so I really empathize with Pam here, and I completely understand her. And she falls asleep at her desk, and then Jim adorably brings her breakfast and wakes her up with a phone call, which I find really endearing.
I love that, and I love her response.
I worked until about 2:45 a.m., and then I had to decide if I wanted to spend the night with Michael editing in his office and Dwight watching Michael edit in his office, or drive home and probably fall asleep at the wheel and die in a fiery car wreck. I passed out on my keyboard trying to decide.
I don't know. I think they all get humor out of these situations, and I appreciated that.
And I like seeing Pam starting to believe in Michael in these ways, because he was there to support her during the art show. Now she's kind of there to support him during the making of this movie, where they're up all night together. And then later on, if a bit, a little bit of foreshadowing, the future Michael Scott Paper Company, there's more support to be had there. And so it's like this relationship that they have, it's going from a place of basically just making it through the day and tolerating Michael and his existence to, I think, kind of understanding him a little bit more and accepting it and seeing the good sides he has and appreciating those. But what happens to the commercial, Micah? After all that work.
After all that work, after he put everything on his, all of his life on this and all of his reputation, it's just not going
to
work out.
I love how nervous Michael is when he's submitting the movie to them. He's so like,
Pam, clear all my calls.
He's so on the edge of his seat. He can't wait for a response. He ends up calling them like 2 seconds later, like not even long enough for them to have watched the commercial that he made. It's just so incredibly endearing. But overall, it just didn't work out.
Well, it's been tough. The Geniuses at Corporate rejected my commercial, and tonight they are airing the Brain Dead version. So welcome one and all to the world premiere of Corporate Crap Fest.
It didn't work out. That commercial doesn't get chosen, and the corporate commercial gets chosen. It's not very good, as we've discussed. I love how they still all go out to have fun together, and they're sort of committed to spending this time with each other and celebrating their, you know, it's nice. It's fun to be in a local commercial. It's cute, and you get to be happy about that. So I like that they still chose to go out. And then Jim, this is one of those moments where I just feel for Jim with all my heart, and he makes me happy, and I'm glad that he had this moment. And I know like he mostly did it for Pam, but it is for everyone when he decides that he's going to ask the bartender to play the real commercial.
Hey, everybody. Just want to welcome you all to the premiere of the real Dunder Mifflin commercial, Michael Scott Director's Cut. Oh. Hope you like it.
I also like how he calls it the Michael Scott Director's Cut. Like, he gives Michael all that credit, and he highlights him. And the fact that Michael's even there at the bar with everybody is a tremendous step in his like socialization throughout the shows. We see him changing and getting more at ease with, I don't know, the presence of the cameras, everyone around, his job. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's just learning more about himself, but he is there with everybody. I feel like at another time, they would have avoided inviting him, very much like Jim's barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely. He's chilled out a lot.
But yeah, now he's part of the gang so much more than he ever was before.
Enjoyable to be around.
Yeah.
Aw. And that's not something I'd really thought about. It just sort of, in my head, it just was what was happening. But yeah, whenever you think about it, that's a really sweet sentiment there for sure.
The final line of Michael's commercial is questionable.
Dunder Mifflin, limitless paper in a paperless world.
If you pay attention to the whole commercial, there's just so much that doesn't make sense, really.
And that's what's so funny and good about this, is that it is one of those things that's like, they're just saying all these words. Like, Michael's just saying these words that they could sound fine.
They're all like buzzwords, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. But then when you really start picking apart and thinking about it, you're like, wait a minute. Limitless paper in a paperless world.
Paperless world.
That's terrible. But overall, that's basically the episode. Andy leaves thinking that the jingle is for Fancy Feast.
It's got a rhyme with peace. Fancy Feast! Break me off a piece of that Fancy Feast. It's a cat food.
Nailed it.
It's not Fancy Feast.
But it's Dundee time already. This was a short episode after coming off of, you know, multiple extra double long ones. So I'm feeling snappy.
Yeah, it does. I'm like, is there more that we should be doing here? And no, we've got there.
We've covered it.
So really excited, of course, as I always say, to give out this week's Dundee.
Dundees always make me excited. I really love connecting with our audience through the Dundees. So you go for it, Micah. You're excited.
I'm going give for out it. That I'm Dundee. Excited. We're excited. Everyone's excited. This week's Dundee, we're calling the Bobblehead Award, and we're giving it to two people. Well, one person and one entity.
It's more like a bump, set, spike situation, right?
It is, and that's what she said. It goes to Mike Martin, that's at @MikeMartin_C on Twitter, and @TheOffice_Lego on Instagram, which we will link to in the show notes, for some unbelievably wonderful Lego vignettes. So Mike Martin said, hey, have you seen these? We think you'll be interested in them, which we get a lot of those kinds of tweets, and those are ripe for Dundee pickings. So be sure, if you come across office stuff, to share it with us. And if we haven't seen it, you may be considered for a future Dundee. But for example, we've got Stanley sitting at his desk with a giant pretzel in his hand. And I love how they've got the water dispenser in the background. One of my favorites was Michael Scott shouting, "I declare bankruptcy," in front of that little supply cabinet area.
I really like the Kevin's chili. I like the various costumes from Halloween that they have represented. There is a lot of nice little office moments represented in these tiny Lego figures, and it's just delightful.
Lego has this thing called Lego Ideas, and you submit ideas for different Lego sets, and then you share it with the world, and it's a little like Kickstarter, except all you're doing is sort of petitioning. And so if it gets enough support, then Lego will consider making it a Lego set. It has achieved 10,000 supporters, and so it will be reviewed. Then they will decide if it's greenlit, and at that point, they will start to create the Office Lego set.
That would be so good.
And so you could have one of your very own.
Because they have the whole office laid out, too. It's not just the little vignettes of the characters.
Yeah, the whole office is there with every room included.
Oh, I want it.
And yeah, me too. And Lego says, like, we are reviewing this. There are official comments from Lego. So go follow that that Instagram account to support it. And I'm sure that they'll keep you posted on whether it becomes a reality. Thank you so much, Mike Martin. Thank you so much, @TheOffice_Lego. Come on up here and get your bobblehead award.
Congratulations, both of you, on the wonderful Dundee win. And make sure you go over and follow us at @Tall_Beats on Twitter and subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year and access to members-only bonus feeds, including our awesome office trivia. And you also get access to the conference room, a members-only Slack. Make sure you come back and join us next week when we talk about the episode Branch Wars.
And don't forget to put together your Apple Music playlist for Michael Scott's mixtape for Daryl Philbin.
Cool.
Dig it.
Claude Van Damme, hair for men, poison gas, NutraSweet.
bus stop. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Carmichael, Stanley, Jim DeWine, and Creek. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Call Dunder Mifflin.
People, persons, paper, people.
Dunder Mifflin.
Stop. This is not me. It's not my music.
You're right. It's better than you. It's us.
The people, persons,
no, I hate it. I don't hate it. I just don't like it at all. And it's terrible.
Yo, Mike.
Okay. You know what? Hold on, Daryl.
You just said you hate it.
No. I said I hate the style.